So today we're going to be looking at passages of Scripture, mostly in Matthew. We'll be focusing on the end times and how we should be living. There's four main points I want to be touching on today from that. But before we do, I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. Father God, I pray that you'd be in the service today. I pray that it wouldn't be me speaking up here, but it'd be your words through me. There's nothing I have to say to these people of any means that's necessary. It's all from you. And I pray that you'd give me the power to speak. I pray this all in your name. Amen. So the passage we're going to be looking at mostly is Matthew 24, and it is verses 36 through 50. We're going to start off there, and who knows where we're going to end. I'll give you a moment to flip there in your Bibles. Starting in verse 36, it says, "But concerning that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household, to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So like I said earlier, we're going to be looking at how we should be living in the end times, and mostly four points, actually, on attitudes that we ought to be having. They are a sense of urgency, a sense of sinfulness, a sense of longing, and a sense of exclusivity. So what character should our lives take if Jesus is coming soon? Well, the first point, a sense of urgency. We look at Noah in the first part of this passage in verse 37. It says, "For as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So Noah at that time knew that the floods were coming because God had told him. And he had an urgency to build the ark. Whereas, as in contrast to that, you see the people of the time in a careless sense of attitude. They were marrying, eating, drinking, in a sense that they did not know the coming of the flood, that there was judgment coming towards them. But we do, and that's the case in this. We know that Jesus is going to be coming again, and that's what the paraphrase is for Noah there. And because we know, we should be urgent with the gospel message. Thinking of this also brought me to Jonah when he was going to Nineveh. Once he had a change of heart, he went and spoke to the Ninevites. And even though it was hard for him, and it may seem hard for us at times to get the gospel out to others, I was thinking that it was only 8 words that he spoke to the Ninevites while he was preaching the entire time there. It was, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And I was thinking to myself, how hard is it to go to your neighbor and say, "Hey, you know, you're on a pathway to hell." And it's so easy just to say that those simple words like that, but it's hard for us and hard for me to step out in faith and to tell others what they need to hear, because I'm afraid. But if you have that mindset that now is the time, Jesus could be coming back at any time, you will understand that you have that urgency. You have to go out there and proclaim to your neighbors and your friends that Jesus is coming. Another example is John the Baptist. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says in verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." You see, he realized in his mindset that it could be any day that Jesus would return, or at that time, that they needed to repent and turn from their ways. So you have a sense of urgency, and you also have a sense of sinfulness in the fact that we need to realize that we are in sin and that the world is in sin. Isaiah 6, 4 through 7 reads, "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." So Isaiah, the prophet, realized that he was in sin and that he needed to get right, and that there was no way that he could stand before a holy God in the way he was at the present time, because he realized he was sinful. And not just that, but the people, the chosen people, the Jews, were in sin. And so "He has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." So once his sin was atoned for, then he could be used of God. And I was thinking, the closer we are to Christ, the more sinful we realize that we are. The more we are in our Bibles, the more we go to church, and the more we realize that how sinful we really are. And it leads us to thank God for what he has done for us. And so that, so it leads us to repent. And in Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it reads, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That was John the Baptist's cry to the people, to make their way straight and repent and turn from their ways. And that's also on the path, thinking about the urgency of the times we're in now. So when we have that mindset that today may not be given to us, today might be the very day Jesus comes back, And I don't always think like that. Sometimes I think that, well, you know, I have college coming up this semester, and then after that, I have work, and maybe later on I might get married and have kids, and their kids will have kids. And you have that thought going in the back of your head, and you think, you know, you forget that Jesus didn't promise us tomorrow, that today could be the last day on earth, and what would we do with our time given to us if we had that mindset? So John the Baptist is preaching the gospel, and he is telling everyone to turn from their way and to repent and be baptized, because he understood the sinfulness of his people and the urgency of the time that was at hand. So we have a sense of urgency, we have a sense of sinfulness, and we have a sense of longing. And I was thinking, we all, at one point or another, or eventually, we all want to go to heaven. We have that longing to see Jesus. In my heart, I do. I was thinking of some of the past Christians that had the same mindset as that. And one of the quotes I have here is from Martin Luther. And he says, "I hope that the day is near at hand when the advent of the great God will appear. For all things are everywhere boiling, burning, moving, falling, sinking, and groaning." And that hymn, he was talking about the creation, how he could see that everything was moving towards Jesus' return and how we long for that. Billy Graham even said that many times when I go to bed at night, I think to myself that before I wake, Christ may return. See, when we have that mindset in our head, it definitely gets us off of ourselves in the moment, and it gets us focused on Christ where it needs to be. And the more we are focused on Christ, the more we are out there doing what we are supposed to be doing. I was even thinking, even Paul anticipated seeing Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:6-8, it reads, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing." One other thing I could find about people in our age that have anticipated Christ was a bishop in the church over in Great Britain about a generation ago. And as it goes, he had a deep sense for the longing of the Lord. And the bishop, Steed, would get up every morning and go to his window, raise the shade and look out. And he'd say, "Perhaps today. Perhaps today, Lord, I will be busy, but I'll be ready." And then at night, he would go back to the window and say, "Perhaps tonight, Lord, I'll be asleep, but I'll be ready. I will wake up when you come." And I was thinking, I wish I had that mindset more often than not. I'm afraid I don't. I think more on the here and now. I was just thinking, if I had that mindset like they did, what would I be doing differently? I probably would be talking to my friends more than I am about Christ, about more important things than what's the weather like or the sports game that's going on, but things that are going to last eternally, the things that they're doing now, and the things that are more poignant than anything else. And to us, the coming back of Christ brings hope. But to many, it's quite ludicrous. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, verses 3-4, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. So nothing's changed. You're waiting for no reason. But he goes on and says, this is beginning in verse 8, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowlessness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So we have a sense of urgency, we have a sense of sinfulness, a sense of longing, and lastly, we have a sense of exclusivity, that there is only one God, and that there's only one way to heaven. Nowadays, it's not held in high esteem to be saying that. Everyone wants to say that everyone's going to heaven in their own way, and that, well, that's your religion, I have mine. 2 Kings 8:59 through 61 reads, let these words of mine, with which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, that all peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your hearts, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. Isaiah 45:5 even says, I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. And so that flies in the face of society today. He says, well, and I believe that, you know, that we all go to heaven in one way or another, and that there is no God, or there is many gods or many ways to God. But this here, that there are many ways to God, Jesus even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there himself, he excludes everyone from getting to heaven if they believe that every different way is acceptable. And if Jesus is truly God, then there is no other way to heaven but through him. So in my conclusion, what I want you to get from this is that in a sense, there is a sense of urgency, and we have to have that mindset that Jesus could be coming back at any time, whether today, tomorrow, or an hour from now. And that we need to be aware of the sin in the world and in our lives. And we need to have a longing and looking forward to Christ's return, and have that focus in our mind, and to realize that there is no other way but through Christ, and that we need to be out there and we need to let them know, because they're not going to know any other way than if we tell them. And they may hate us for it, and some may love us and find Christ, and that's the price we have to pay. So I think I'll end in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you that Jesus Christ is returning again. I thank you that you are going to be coming for your people. I thank you for that. I pray that you'd give me the courage to talk to my neighbors and talk to my friends and to proclaim you to a world that doesn't want to hear you, to people that may be offended at your name, Father God. I pray that you give me a mindset of that this life is short and that you could come at any time, Father God. I pray you'd be with us throughout the week to empower us to talk to our neighbors, our friends, our family, and to never lose hope in you. I pray this all in your name. Amen.